Friday evening, we watched as the fallout after terrorists hit multiple locations in Paris in a coordinated attack, leaving 126 people dead by the most recent account that I've seen. 129. For some of us here, these incidents have touched our lives in personal ways. For all of us, this is only the latest in an ongoing series of incidents signaling the unraveling of our society. You've heard it said here before that America, the America that you once knew, that you grew up in, doesn't exist anymore. And that's true. That's absolutely true. What you see today is a completely new iteration. Most of the things we took for granted in the past as our cultural framework have been under siege for decades now. Decades. Our nation, not unlike many other nations in the world, has seen our society in a large part abandon many of the restraints put in place by the Lord to protect us and keep us on course. We've lost track of the touchstones, the anchor points, the things that have held us for generations through the storms that we've weathered. All of this is indicative of the hard attitude that we as a nation and this world have toward the Lord. Our families have been under attack for years, all the way from our strongest members to our weakest members. Marriage is being redefined in our society to where anything goes. You're seeing the slide. The understanding of what a father is supposed to be is literally being wiped from the face of our society. We protect the wildlife with reckless abandon, but not our most innocent. Our value structure is completely inverted. Things are broken. You may have seen in the news, but in some of the schools in this country, they're beginning to teach our youth the concept of affirmative consent. If you haven't heard of this, the idea behind affirmative consent is that for every new degree of intimacy you share with one another, you must receive their affirmative consent to move forward, thus ensuring that both are on board with moving things to the next level. This is our response to try to combat the rising number of sexual assaults, and this is a real problem that affects more people than we can even begin to understand. These are real issues. There are real solutions that need to be made. You see, our society has been selling themselves and our children that anything goes. That you can give yourselves to one another in any way that feels good, whenever you're ready, because anything goes. And now on the other side of this, we're trying to slap structure to allow them to continue in this pathway, but to keep the hurts at a minimum. This, like many other situations we are seeing in our society, are attempts to place band-aids on self-inflicted, sucking chest wounds. The band-aid won't stick, it won't cover the wound, it won't absorb the fallout. And without proper treatment, the wound could lead to suffocation and death. This is the condition of our society right now. Have we forgotten that marriage, done God's way, not the way we've been seeing it for decades and generations, but done God's way, provides the environment to properly protect men and women and their most intimate of relationships? You see, when it's done properly, both the man and the woman are prepared by their parents to the point of maturity required to undertake their representational roles as husband and wife. They take vows to consecrate their lifelong commitment to one another as they enter into a covenantal relationship with each other and the Lord. And within that relationship, they are free to explore their intimacy with one another, free in a protected environment. He does not take advantage of her, nor her of him, because they have been raised with discipline and accountability. And they understand who and what they are representing by partaking in this relationship. They are the image of Christ in the church put on display for the world to see. That is a weighty thing. It's not a matter of convenience. They are responsible to the Lord and to one another for their actions toward one another. And they have to rely on his wisdom and grace to fulfill this role. What I just described almost sounds too good to be true, because we haven't been seeing that in a large part of our society for generations. That's a completely different model than going down to the courthouse and getting hitched. If you expect to see this decline in society to change anytime soon, you're going to be sorely disappointed. Donald is not going to save you. Neither is Ben or Hillary or Bernie. They're not going to stop this slide, because we've entered into and are continuing into time where, like in Judges 21, verse 25, men are doing what is right in their own eyes. Lawlessness is rampant. Lawlessness. The wheels have come off. As society continues to come off its hinges, the power brokers in this world will band together, looking within themselves and the answers from various religions of the world to try to ensure their survival and the survival of humanity. They will inevitably fail and continue to fail at enacting anything that will rescue the situation, because they will fail to look to the rescuer, Jesus. You see, when we band together and we look at all these religions, we look inside ourselves, we're looking for this common good, this brotherhood, this, we've all got the right answers. Thank you, Tina. The answers are within yourself, right? But Jesus is the stumbling block. He's the only one who comes and says, I am the way. I am the only way. It's a narrow road. It's not a broad road. It's a narrow road. And he will continue to say that. And those who follow him will likewise continue to say that. He and his followers have been and will continue to be less popular as we move down this pathway. There's persecution coming. The heat is getting turned up. It's already happening in large portions of our world. We here in America have been sheltered for generations. But it's coming. It's inevitable. Have you read the end of the book? It's a pretty dire outlook, right? But God. I love that phrase that shows up in Scripture. But God. He has a plan. So if you think that he's surprised by any of this, you got to have a different thought. Okay? Think again. If you're joining us just now, this is the final installment, the fifth of four in this series. Has been targeted at our men, calling us to step into our role as the kephale. The purpose behind this is initiating a kingdom culture that will produce a people who will truly glorify our Father. If you missed any of these sermons, you can actually go to our YouTube channel. I'm going to have a little demonstration here right now, because a lot of you, as I've talked to you, don't even know that we have a YouTube channel. So if you go to our main webpage, up at the top, there's a tab called Media. And on Media, it has OFH YouTube channel. You follow that. And Brandon, if you could pull up the one on the series. So there's playlists. And Brandon has grouped this into a playlist called A Brotherhood of Fathers. All right? And in here, you're actually going to see there's the four sermons that we've already preached are all grouped together. And you can see everything that we've been preaching on there. And they're usually up within a day or so of us preaching. So I recommend that if you've missed any one of our sermons, please go back and view that. Now, this is not the only set of sermons that we've got on here. We have content that goes back to, I believe, 2006 on here, farther, a lot. Over 100 different things are up on the channel, so you can go back into the main part of the channel and you can see all that. So please use that resource. If you're out for whatever reason, that's a great way to know what was going on, all right? So what we've been talking about and what we are continuing to talk about is the preparation of the bride. Okay? We have been giving some fundamental things. We've talked very broadly about what this brotherhood of fathers is. We've talked to men about how you need your brothers. You need those relationships. We talked about the core values that you need as far as moving forward in the Lord, things that are supposed to be put on display through you, like love and accountability, sacrifice, submission, suffering, these core values that are supposed to be in us. And then last week, Brandon got up here, did a really great job talking to you about the areas of rule that you have to learn to conquer as men. You have to learn how to rule yourself. You have to learn how to rule in your family. You have to learn how to rule in your workplace, and you have to learn how to rule in your community. These are growing and expanding areas of rule in your life. We're simultaneously moving in and out of each one of these, but it's significant how the Lord raises us up. Who liked the visual of the bowls last week? That was just phenomenal. It spoke so much to me. You see, as we rule and he increases our bowl to where we're able to cover more area, we're able to pour more of his presence out into that situation, those that are underneath that area of rule are blessed by it. We bring blessing into the world to both the evil and the good because our Father does the same thing. What's interesting about those bowls is what you saw was one bowl for one person. What happens to a community when those bowls are enlarged by multiple people in multiple areas with multiple stratagems? You start seeing an entire area being covered by the presence of the Lord, and you see him move in ways that are just unbelievable. This is not an individual game. This is a corporate game. If you haven't heard that in these messages, please, please, please hear that. This is a corporate thing that God is doing. It's not about the one man. It's about the one man, Christ, but it's not about the one man, you and me. His body is broad, it is worldwide, and he's raising us up. My notes are not working for me today. They're actually working, but they're not working for me. See, the Lord brought a word to me this morning where he's basically said he's allowed us to climb up onto a mountaintop on a clear, crisp winter day. Who's been out west and seen the mountains on a clear, crisp winter day? You can see for hundreds of miles in high definition. It's not like out here where you can't see 1 mile for all the humidity that's in the air. I'm talking, you can see hundreds of miles clearly. He's given us the ability today to step up on this mountaintop and see the long view, okay? Because what we've been talking with you about is not a short-term fix. This isn't it's going to change by next year and we're going to be good. The Lord is seeding things in the ground that some of us may never even see or witness in our lifetime. Okay? We may never get to witness that, but it's important that we understand the vision of where he's going. So as I share that vision today, I'm going to ask right now, Holy Spirit, come and open our eyes. Help us to see. Lord, whatever blinders we have on, whatever filters we have on that are not of you, I command them to be removed in Jesus' name. Lord, let your presence continue to fall in this place. I thank you for your angels that are protecting us here right now. And Lord, I thank you for your vision. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Now, this series has been geared toward men, but women, you have not been left out of this thing, okay? In fact, some of our largest supporters on this message have been women. Not surprisingly. You see, we've been talking about something that is being initiated in the men. Because the men have to go first, women, you are going to. Our men have to go first because that's the way God set it up. He built us to be kephale. If you're unfamiliar with that term, kephale is the leader who leads by example, by going first, by taking the hits. He's the one that sets the standard. He's there for service of those that he is leading. That's what we've been called to. So women, you're moving forward in this too. But it's your man that gets to take the hits. And not just your man, but collectively, us men. And we belong to one another. So let's remember that. If you don't have a husband, if you aren't in a relationship, you may be too young to be married right now. Maybe you're beyond that in your life. But the point is, the men in our context are moving forward in this. And it's not just happening here. Okay? If you believe that we're the only ones that are preaching this message, then we're not hearing the Holy Spirit. God's doing something in other locations, and we've started to hear the rumblings from other men within our community. How encouraging is that? God is doing something here. But women, he's using you in this situation too. Do you know that the encouragement that you can offer your husband and the men here, your sons, your brothers, is invaluable? Because what we're asking them to do is go against their nature, their human nature, the culture of what a man is. We're asking them to cut across the grain of that. And that is going to be hitting them hard at the core. Your words of encouragement are invaluable. So please ask for your support in this. The principles we've talked about, when you see your brothers and your husbands and your sons not measuring up to it in a moment, it's not for you to beat them over the head with. It's for you to come along and encourage them and undergird them and support them as they move forward. Please be interceding for them and recognize that they're paving a trail that you and others behind you are going to be walking on. And you'll be lifting up those same values because it's going to be going through the entire culture. Young men, talking ages 15 to 25, we have a tendency to want to just jump out there and do it right now. It's part of who we are as men. We want to get out there and we're driven. We want to grab hold of what God is doing. We want it to happen now. We want it to begin to take on responsibilities that are beyond our capability. Understand that there's a process that he's bringing you through. Recognize that he's grooming you in this time, because what you'll carry in this is different than what I will carry, what Brandon will carry, what Tim Fink's going to carry, what other men in this context are going to carry, because you're from a different generation. Recognize that he's maturing you and he's growing you and raising you to be a father in a context that isn't even in the earth today. There's a process. When you're submitted to the process and you're submitted to him, you can move forward with him at the appropriate time. So hop on the train, but don't jump in front of it, okay? I'm excited for you guys, because God is up to something. He is up to something, and it is big. It is big. We're talking about the bride, the preparation of the bride. If you've got your Bibles, actually, if you don't have your Bibles, it's okay because it's going to be up on the screen behind me. Turn to Revelation 19, 7 through 8. This is why we're doing this. Remember, we're having the long-term view. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. The bride preparing herself. That is what is being initiated in this time. The bride recognizing that there is preparation that needs to take place. And what we are initiating here with our men is that preparation. Please understand the significance of this. Because when the bride is presented to the Lord, she is beautiful. There are things that we wrestle with now within the body of Christ that we will not be wrestling with then, because they will have fallen away. What's this culture supposed to look like that we're talking about? What's interesting is, as you've been hearing Brandon and I speaking over the past several weeks, we're speaking from a perspective that is unique to this time frame. Because we're recapturing something, we're reclaiming something from a point in our perspectives of men who are already husbands and fathers and workers and people who are active in a community. That is our perspective, reclaiming a culture. There's certain things that has to happen from that perspective, all right? You're transforming your relationships that are already present. You're transforming the way that you rule. You're transforming the way that you carry yourself. And God is doing that transformation in you. You're going from one state to another. This is not where our children and our grandchildren should be moving from. Do you recognize that? This is a word for this season, but it's moving us into a different season. Okay? If my son wrestles with the same things that I wrestle with, then I haven't done my job. We haven't done our jobs. Okay? So what is the type of culture that we're talking about? It's totally different. Imagine what it would mean to live in a kingdom culture where each believer knew they had a spiritual father. That is totally different from where we are right now. Some of us have spiritual fathers, but not all of us can recognize that we have a spiritual father. We wouldn't even know who that is. A father whom they knew and who knew them well. Not just some guy in a suit talking to you, but someone who's involved in your life, deeply involved in your life, knows you intimately. Believers would come up having someone watching over their soul, someone who took personal responsibility for their development. They are accountable before God for the development of those that he has given to them. They have to answer for that. There's a different impetus if you know you have to go before the Lord over the well-being of the souls that he has entrusted to you. That's a different place. They're going to take that role seriously. They're going to bring up their sons in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And when I say sons, I'm not talking just men, okay? They would raise their sons with the direct purpose of sharing the Lord's vision over their life. That requires insight. That requires wisdom. That requires grace. And they would raise them up in the way they should go so that when they're old, they will not depart from it. Do you know you're all made individually for a specific calling and a specific role? A spiritual father teams with God's mission in your life to help shape you in that way so that you can be strengthened in it, so that when you're old, you will not depart from it. You will know who you are. You will know whose you are, and you will know your purpose here in this earth. The sons would always know that they were to grow up to represent their heavenly Father in time and space, and that they are to raise others up within the body of Christ and bring them to maturity. In this culture, there would be fathers who are brothers ruling together for those who are under their care. They would be living examples of love, submission, accountability, and suffering proven again and again over time. They would be known, loved, and trusted because of the continual demonstration of their willingness to lay down their lives for those under their covering. This isn't just happening next month. This is a process over time of something God is building. Under that covering, there will be such grace for growth, maturations, and new expressions of our Father's love that it will spill over and throughout our communities. This is not just for the walls and within the walls of this church. We're talking about affecting the community that we have been deployed to. See, I believe there's going to be, when we see this, a breakdown of denominational walls. We're not going to be looking at things as denominations. We should be looking at who we are as a people in a location, a region. It's not something that we just do here at our Father's house. This is what the church in Southern Maryland is doing. It's what God is doing here. And I believe there's going to be a radius of influence as those sons and fathers raise up and they increase in maturity. It's going to change the landscape. It's going to change how people do things here. Praise God. And he will reign on the evil and the good. It doesn't matter. And it will people, it is going to change the environment that we're in. Because we are in the environment that we're in. He is ruling through us in that environment. This culture is going to stand in sharp contrast to the rest of the world because it is the culture of our King. It emanates from God, and the differences will be distinct, noticeable, and desirable. It will draw those who are in the world who recognize their systems are broken, knowing that there's something more that they need, and they will see it in the people of the Lord. They'll recognize that we, in this culture of God's kingdom, are not struggling with the same things that the world cannot have solutions to. There will be those solutions evident in us. You won't be having the racism. You won't be having the classism. You won't be having the sexism. Brother will not be rising up against brother. We'll be one in unity. And we will be bringing the Lord's love to those that he brings before us. Everyone under our care. I'm convinced that it's from this culture, the one that we're describing, that the sons of God will be revealed. It says in Romans 8, 18 and 19. I'll skip to 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. I don't believe that has happened yet, because it is going to be transformational on the landscape. What that generation is capable of carrying, we do not have the maturity or the character to host at this time. But in that generation, this culture of the kingdom of Father and Son will be their culture. It will be the culture that they were incubated in. putting the Father on display is the natural thing to do. And in that culture, he can trust them with such levels of power that we are not capable of wielding. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's beyond the horizon. But we have a choice here today about whether we're going to step off and move in that direction. You see, over the past series of weeks, you have had two witnesses come before you who have talked to you about the promised land that they have gone into and they have tasted and seen. Brandon and I have such different beginnings in our life. He shared that last week. But where we are right now is because we have both directly benefited from the Lord's work in our life, and we have intimately benefited from a spiritual father's hand in our life. What does a spiritual father give you? When he teams with the Lord, he takes responsibility for your development. You develop at a rapid pace. I would not be standing here without the hand of my spiritual father in my life, which for me began with my natural father. And my natural father recognized that he had taken me as far as he could, and he handed me to the next man. Praise God. That's what a father does. It lifts the son beyond where he can go. You see rapid development. You get to know who your identity is. I know who I am in the Lord. I wrestle with my soul over that, but I know who I am in the Lord. And I know Brandon can say the same thing. We've tasted of this land, but we haven't lived in this land yet. It's for our generation to take that land. We've been given the vision, and it's for us to take that land. It's for our children and our children's children, not to take that land like we were talking about earlier, but to inhabit that land, to live in that land, and to keep and protect that land. And it's our job to get them there. You've had two witnesses. And the question is, will you come with us to take that land? Next year, beginning in January, we're initiating a vehicle for this to happen with our men. Today is not a conclusion message. Today is a launch message. Okay? We are going somewhere. Beginning in January, we're going to be holding monthly meetings with our men that will go on for a year. This is a long time to be together, but it is necessary. Some of you may join us and not stick around. That's okay. But I'm looking for those men who are going to join us and stick through the entire time, because what we're doing is not leadership development. This is development of our leaders. And there is a very distinct difference there. You are not just learning principles of good leadership. This is, who are you as a leader? Who has God made you to be? And what is he doing in time and space? And how does he intend for you to join with him in that? That's what we're doing with our men beginning in January. This is a kernel. This is a seed that is going to grow over time. I'm excited for it because it's going to be hard. But the good things are hard. We got to suffer through these things as we stare down our souls together as men as we build those accountability relationships, as we undergird one another, as things get ripped up in our life, because the Lord's going to do some rotor tilling in us. You ever worked with a rotor tiller? It tears up all sorts of stuff. Roots, junk, rocks, everything, soda cans that you didn't know were there for the past 50 years. Things get uprooted in you, but it's so that you can become fertile ground for something to grow. So men, that's where we're going. Over the past several messages, several of you have stood up and come forward. So I'm going to be looking for those faces. And ladies, you know if your man stood up and came forward. Gently remind him. Because it means difference for all of us. It means transformation for us as a congregation and as a culture. So please encourage them to come along with us. We're going to do some things right now in corporate prayer. But I'd like our worship team to come back up. How many felt the presence of the Lord here this morning? That was something I have. The level of what I felt here today was something I have not experienced in a long time. That was intense. God is moving in our hearts today. So we're going to be going back into something. Before we do that, the first thing we're going to pray for is for the people in France. Because we would not be doing our due diligence if we did not bring them before the Lord right now. Okay? So I'm going to ask you all to rise. And we're going to pray together. Lord, many lives have been lost this weekend. Lord, I just lift up the people of France to you. We come before you right now, Lord, for all of those here in our congregation who have been touched by that, Lord, personally, but for the people that are there that have had their hearts broken as they've lost their loved ones. Lord, I just pray for their hearts right now. I ask for your Holy Spirit to come and comfort them. I rebuke a spirit of trauma that would try to enter into this nation as it takes beating after beating after beating. And Lord, right now I ask that you would come and bring healing to them. I pray for their leaders. I pray for President Hollande. I ask that you would give him wisdom, insight, and understanding to move his people into this next season, Lord, in the fallout of all of this. I ask that you would grant him leadership abilities, Lord, to raise up those in his country that are there to protect the people, Lord. Any future plots, I ask that you would be foiling them, Lord. You'd give them knowledge in uncanny ways that would bring their focus back to you, Lord. Lord, thwart the efforts of their enemies. Thwart their efforts, Lord. Lord, we ask for your peace and restored order in this country. Lord, as many people have had their society and everything that they've known shattered around them, their framework, Lord, I ask that their hearts would be turned to you and that there would be your people there to catch them, Lord, and to lift them back up and to lead them to you. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Lord, I pray for these men who have aligned themselves with ISIS, Lord. Lord, the children of Ishmael. Lord, I ask that you would come to them in their dreams, in waking visions, Lord, that you would call them back to you. Lord, that you would thwart the effort of the enemy by changing their hearts and turning them to you. I know that you will receive them with open arms, Lord. Lord, we pray for these men. We pray for these men. Foil the plots of their leaders. Uncover them, Lord. Protect your people, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Lord, I pray for the other countries in this world that have themselves in the crosshairs of this organization. Lord, I ask for all their leaders to be heightened. I ask for your prophetic people in those countries, Lord, to give warning that would be heeded, Lord. Speak to them, Lord, about the plots, about distinct details, Lord, that you would uncover and unfold. I thank you, Lord, for your grace. Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. Bring peace and order back into these places. In Jesus' name. Spare the lives of the innocent, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, you are great and you are awesome. And we call in your presence, Lord, in new ways. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing today. Us all to pray something together. It should be familiar to you. Can we get Matthew 6, 9 through 13 in the New King James up, please? What we've been talking about here is the beginning of a new culture. And it's the culture of the kingdom. It's the culture of our King. And as you pray this prayer, I'd like you to see those things through that lens. Okay? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Lord, we call on that right now. Bring your kingdom into time and space, Lord, and begin it here with us and others like us who are answering that call, Lord. Let our yes be yes, Lord. Hallelujah. If you guys would go back into that medley that we were singing earlier today, the Our Father, I'd like us to enter back into that together today. That's where we're going. If you need to leave, if you need to pick up your kids, feel free, because we're going to hang out here and worship for a little while. All right? God bless you.
Oh,
things. Louise, if you'll share what you got.
When Brandon began, you guys are so related. When Jay began to pray before, I immediately saw a man's slipper, a nice fuzzy man's slipper. On the inside of the sole, there was a yellow post-it note. On that yellow post-it note was written a fear. It was those secret words that this man doesn't really want to tell anybody, but it's what's holding him from coming out of soft place of slippers and saying yes and walking in shoes with what the Lord is calling you to do. But if you will say yes to the Lord, take that thing out of your shoe and hand it to the Lord, He has ministry for you and grace to take that step. And then what I saw was pages and pages of written revelation and understanding and wisdom that this man didn't know the Lord had for him. His hands were full holding on to this little piece of paper, not knowing. The Lord has pages of revelation so that you can walk in this new place. So exchange your post-it note for what the Lord has for you.
Amen. If you want to exchange your post-it note, the altar is open here this morning. Come lay those things before the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's go back in.
Is on with the innocence gone, and the darkness has covered the earth. But His Spirit dwells, He speaks in His well, and the hopeless still offered new birth. He will break the leash of death, it will have no sting. Let the prisoner go free.
Leash